You know, I read passages like this from Genesis, and a number of questions arise in my mind. And maybe it's just because of where my technique comes from in various things, but I read this and I think to myself, okay, if I can imagine myself here, what do we have? We have Abraham, and he's sitting by the terebinth, that's a particular landmass, and he sat at the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot, or as I call it, last week. You know, he just sort of, he went outside the tent because it was too hot inside to wait out the day. Now, I want you to think about the logistics of this. He's outside the tent because it's too hot, and he's just trying to ride out the hot part of the day. And what does he see? He sees three men approaching, and he goes to Sarah. And I ask the question, where is Sarah? She's inside the tent where it's too hot. So I don't really know what that tells me, but I'm equally concerned about something even further. Quick, bake some bread. You bake bread, I can tell. I bake bread. If you haven't done it before, I have so many food allergies, I've actually used to bake my own bread, and I'm actually used to it. And there's a couple of things I know about making bread. One is, if you want to make it right, it usually cooks for about half an hour at 350 degrees. If you think it's hot in the tent now, give it a few minutes and make some bread. You'll be amazed how much faster it warms up, but you obviously already know that. But this is the thing I pause and I think about, because here we have it. We have Abraham. He's waiting outside the tent. Why? Because it's too hot. We're trying to ride out the hot part of the day. There's no air conditioning. It's not like going back inside the tent is going to get any better. And this need for service comes out. Now, I'm a big fan of service. I love being at the service of others, and there's a gift to this, and there is a real calling for it. But he puts it on the shoulders of his wife, and, you know, quick, go make some bread, you know, and they prepare this. And it's a gift. I mean, they give to these three who turn out to be angels, and they make this prophecy in a year's time. You will have a son. And this is an incredible and beautiful promise. And I think about that compared to the gospel. And I consider this for a moment. And I look at this and what do we have? We have Martha, we have Mary. We have these two sisters. Now, if you have sisters, my sisters love each other. They really do. But that doesn't mean they get along. And trust me, put them in the same house. It doesn't take long. We'll have a fight. I mean, it's just an inevitability at a certain point. And they do care about each other and truly love each other. And what happens? Well, you have a conflict of interest because they both are focused on something that's very important. Martha's focused on the service. Don't you see? I need to serve these things. I have all these tasks to do. And you can tell she's obviously a mother as well because she tries to get someone else to correct someone in front of them. You know, they're trying to use guilt to talk around the problem and just, you know, try and point it out. But he says, you know, Lord, can you see she's left me with all this work to do? And there's a reminder here that there's nothing wrong with service. He doesn't say that Martha's doing a bad job or it's unnecessary or any of those things. But there is, within this gospel, a very clear reminder. He says, Martha, you are concerned with many things, but Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken away from her. There's a reminder that while we get busy and while we start doing things, there's nothing wrong with the things that we're doing necessarily. And there's stuff to do. There's always plenty to do. You got to keep up with the chores. You got to keep up with whatever housekeeping, upkeep, things that require to be done. We have jobs to do. We have lawns to maintain. It's summer, so apparently everyone has to go out and try and raise some more plants to get some more bees. It'll die in a few weeks anyway, because summer will pass back to winter. It'll all be gone. But, you know, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of time and investment to put in, and it's beautiful, and it's good. But there's a reminder here that all this work itself is not an end, but should in fact be a means. What is the end? Well, the end is to spend that time with Christ. What is Mary being criticized for? Here she is, what's she doing? She sits at the feet of the Lord. What a wonderful position to be, to sit at the feet of our Lord. I'm reminded when I was growing up, I knew an older man who used to come into the church, and, And he'd come to morning mass. I was a server for a lot of morning masses, and he would stay afterwards. He would stay, sometimes if my mother didn't pick me up right away, he would just be there forever. I swore he was there all day, but apparently he wasn't. But I finally asked him one day, I said, what are you doing in there? Because you don't, he just sits there. He sits in the last pew and he crosses his arms and he just sits there. I said, what are you doing? And he finally said to me, he said, well, I look at God. And he looks back. It doesn't sound terribly complicated. It doesn't even sound terribly busy. And I know lots of people who get fidgety and anxious, and I mean, ask them to sit still for 5 minutes. It's a great game. You could film it and market it. It would be just a fascinating endeavor entirely. But there is this great gift that we're reminded that of all the things that we do and all the things that we busy ourselves with and all the things we become involved in and focused on and concerned about, it all comes back to one very basic thing. Are we ready to sit with God? Can we sit with Him? To give Him that moment so that He can both look at us and we can look at Him. One of the challenges of when we first enter seminary is this invitation to come into silence and to appreciate silence for what it is. And I got to be honest with you, when you first step into silence, when you first try and learn what it is to be quiet with God, it's very loud. We stop and we pause for just that moment, and what happens? Our brain becomes filled with 100,000 things that we're focused on. And all kinds of things that we're worried about and distracted by and concerned with. And, oh, yeah, I got to take care of that. And, oh, I got to make sure I did that. And did I leave the stove on? And, you know, that toaster, it really isn't, you know, it's acting up. The one side is always a little more cooked than the other. I got to get that toaster looked at. And, you know, that car, you know, I think it's time for another oil change on the car. So I got to make sure that I get back to that oil change. And, you know, when's the kids' next soccer practice? Because we've got to make sure that we're there on time. And is it my turn to bring the snack? Or is it someone else's turn to bring the snack? And silence is hard. It's really, really hard. We hear all these things, they come rushing in, and it's so loud, we couldn't possibly get to the silence. As seminarians, we encourage to take a holy hour. We said, what do you do in the holy hour? I said, well, you learn about silence. For the first 45 minutes, I heard a lot of things. Silence was definitely not one of them. These distractions, these other details, these things, they come up because we haven't even paused in our lives long enough to let them. And so suddenly they're all there and they're coming at us so fast, it's like trying to dodge traffic on an interstate. The challenge, the invitation, the great reminder that is placed before us is an invitation to this quiet. It's an invitation to this reflection where we allow all of these things to come rushing down upon us. Maybe we could sort through them, file them away, and actually get to the silence. It's hard. It's a big challenge. And I'm sure some of you have your reservations thinking, yes, there's no way my children will let me have that kind of silence. There's no way that with the kids that I have or with the responsibilities that I have that I can ever enter into that kind of silence. Well, I have a challenge for you too. Don't worry. Your silence may not be without noise, but there is a great invitation in this gospel. Martha's worried about all the things that need to be done, food on the table and dishes set and things washed and all those things in place, and that's great. But each and every one of us should and needs to take a moment and pause and say, can this wait while I step in and sit with those here in front of me? Those here staring me in the face. Can I take that moment and play a game with my children? You know, Candyland does not take very long. Probably doesn't take very long because I cheat and I get to the end really quick, but that's really not the point. Candyland doesn't take very long. Can we play that game of sorry? You know, it's something every parent knows, but kids don't stay kids very long. And while your teenage years may seem to last a century, rest assured those pass quickly too. There's this invitation in this gospel not just to enter into the silence, but to pause and consider what's right in front of us. Can I stop and appreciate what's right in front of me? You know what? The dishes in the sink, they'll be there in 20 minutes, or an hour, or a couple hours. And I'm not going to change the oil in the car today, so why am I worried about it? But right here, right now, someone needs something. Just a little bit of my attention. Just a little bit of my time. The grand scheme of life, what is a couple hours? Can I be present here and now at this invitation? Not to run off and stoke up the fire for bread. Not to run off and sort that laundry or organize those bookshelves. But can I be present here and now for what's going on in front of me? And enjoy, in a different kind of silence, the great reality of what I'm looking at. It's summer. It's a great time to slow down. Not many of us do, but it is a great invitation. I challenge you all to consider it, and to pause, and be present in this moment with our Lord.